We're going to be finding out a little bit today about music therapy. What is it? How can it help? And what are the benefits? Joining me to answer all of our questions is qualified music therapist and PR officer with the British Association for Music Therapy, Claire Maddox. Hi, Claire. It is so nice to chat with you today.
Hi, lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the basics. What is music therapy?
Sure. So music therapy is a clinical psychological intervention. It uses music in all of its forms to help support people of all ages and abilities to support perhaps cognitive, behavioural, social, emotional, or psychological needs, whatever help they need.
And you work with the British Association for Music Therapy. What is the role of your organisation?
So the British Association for Music Therapy, or BAMT as we call it for short, essentially is the professional body for music therapy in the UK. We work to support practitioners in all areas of their professional lives. We also work to raise awareness of the profession of music therapy. We do it through things like our social media platforms, our new blog, which we've just launched, to just inform the general public about what music therapy is, how it can help, and how you can access it. But we also work to really lobby for music therapy, so trying to really encourage greater access to music therapy, perhaps through institutions such as the NHS, and to show the evidence for how music therapy can help.
Yeah, because music therapy, you kind of touched upon this, it can help a wide variety of people for a really wide variety of reasons, and it can be really helpful for anyone living with sight loss as well.
Yes, there's a huge variety, like you say, in the ways that we can use music therapy, particularly with the blind and the visually impaired community. So families who maybe have young children who are blind or visually impaired, we can look at ways such as improving sort of communication skills and looking at using music as a tool even for bonding. So finding this accessible non-verbal means that anyone can enter into. And this is the great thing about music therapy. You don't have to be a musician to be able to access it. So we might look at sensory activities about really building up, you know, using our hearing and using those non-verbal communication skills that we need in everyday to day life, but starting with it in music. With adult work, perhaps, if we are working with someone who, you know, for instance, I work a lot with people with brain injuries, and I work a lot with people who have acquired a brain injury, and as part of that brain injury, they may have lost their sight or they now have a visual impairment. So we look a lot there at that sort of psychological support, and for them, that coming to terms with this new identity and these big changes in their life. And again, music can be a very powerful tool for that, because we can use it in this completely non-verbal way, and it just gives them a space to really express everything about how they're feeling without the pressure of having to put it into words.
So you mentioned kids, especially kids that live with sight loss, and I actually have a little testimonial. We spoke with Carla Golic a little bit earlier this year. She's a mom of 8-year-old Cameron, and he absolutely adores music therapy.
Cameron receives music therapy once a week through school, and as a blind child, well, he's now losing his hearing, but what hearing he does have, he gets so much through music, not just the sound, it's also the vibrations that he feels. It's just a great sensory experience for him. Being a non-verbal child, it really encourages communication skills, just being able to mimic sounds, that sort of thing, and have expressive communication. And it's just something he really enjoys. He gets so much enjoyment from it. It just makes him happy, and it's just a wonderful thing to watch.
So that was Carla again talking about how music therapy helps her 8-year-old son, Cameron. Do you work with many kids like Cameron?
Yeah, I have done. I have worked with children who sound quite similar to Cameron. And I think Carla's touched on a lot of really fantastic and important things. So looking at the fact that, yes, we use sound, but also there is this whole sensory experience. There are these vibrations when we play musical instruments, when we share musical instruments, when we listen to music as well, and how that can tap into these other senses. I've done a little bit of work working with young people and children who need help with their sort of sensory orientation. And that music can be a great way to do that, because like we say, we've got these multi-sensory responses, but we also can use it in this fun, motivational way. So using music and using movement and music to really orientate someone to their body, to stretching out their arms in a space and getting that sense of where they are in that space, and also perhaps cognitive sort of sensory orientation. So maybe doing things like helping someone learn the order of the days of the week, or just orientate to a room that they're in and practice things like that. But again, in this way that is perhaps a more motivational, multi-sensory experience as well.
So could you give us an example of what a session with a music therapist could look like for someone who has sight loss?
I would say generally we would start with some kind of welcome activity. If I'm working with a child client, I'm probably more likely to do something like a welcome song. So I might play my guitar, and what I might invite the child to do is to place their hands on the body of the guitar so they can feel the vibrations, join in with the singing as I sing. So I'd leave space for them to sing and we could take turns. And again, you know, that's communication skills that we use in our day-to-day talking, that sort of turn-taking, pauses, listening. With an adult, a sort of welcome activity, we might do something like listen to a piece of music, or we might just have a chat, just see how their week's been, whatever is best for them. And then we might move into a variety of sort of structured and unstructured activities. If I'm working with someone, again, to build their tolerance of other sensory experiences, then we might do some improvisation. I might bring over some percussion instruments, let them have a feel, let them choose what kind of instrument they might like to play, and then invite them to simply improvise, to just play whatever they feel like playing, whatever they are drawn to playing. And we might do that, and then sometimes we'll talk about it afterwards, but sometimes it's hard to put what's happened in the music into words, and that's kind of one of the beauties of music therapy. So after we've done an improvisation, maybe we will do a more structured activity with an adult. Perhaps it's something like songwriting or composing a piece, you know, maybe using music technology, whatever it is that they feel they need to use to express themselves or to be supported that day. For a child, maybe I might do some more structured activities. Again, going back to things like turn-taking, call and response, but also, you know, maybe creating songs with them, doing some music and movement. And then we'd probably conclude with some kind of, again, sort of farewell activity. So again, whether it's just a chat or listening to a song, to a goodbye song that, again, uses different musical instruments and different vibrations and sensations.
So Claire, that all sounds amazing. If we wanted to find out more about music therapy, what's the best place to go to?
So I'd really recommend that you go to the BAMPS website, which is www.bamt.org. We have a Find a Therapist search tool on our website, but also use it to contact us.
Music therapist Claire Maddox, thank you for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for having me.